Go to just about any church wedding, or for that matter, any wedding, and ask yourself, who is the focus of the wedding? It's not a hard question. The bride and the groom, who else? But today's account at the wedding at Cana almost turns the tables. Jesus and his mother are at a wedding reception, and guess who's never mentioned even once? The bride and the groom. Might must make us wonder what weddings are really about. Are they about the love between two people, now made husband and wife? Sure, of course. But they are also about a lot more. They are about the overabundant love that God pours out on the couple and on all of us. It's a love that is equated with gallons and gallons of the finest wine. Wine of celebration, no doubt, but also wine of self-offering love. It's love that is more than enough to go around to all who wish to partake. But if there's overabundance, isn't there also leftovers? A lot of waste? And why would God give so much love in the first place if God knows how much is going to be unused and gone to waste? God's overabundance might be seen as wastefulness. And yet, thank God for that. God is wasteful in his forgiveness. God is wasteful in his help. He's wasteful in all the spiritual gifts that God can bestow on human beings. But what makes it wasteful? Well, we can say that God's love is infinite, and so any form of love that God gives is going to be more than enough. But there's the other side, us. And we could also say that God's love is wasteful because it is often unused by human beings. It can be buried underground by our lack of charity, or just because we're so absorbed in our own projects and plans. But along with the question of why there is overabundance, there is the question how. How do we see God's abundance? And how often does our awareness of God's abundance become so dependent, maybe even controlled, by our circumstances in life? In other words, if our money and possessions are abundant, then God must be abundant. If our health is abundant, then God is abundant. If we find abundant success in our work life or social life, then God is certainly abundant. Might be harder to recognize God's abundance when these things are missing or they seem scarce. And yet, in faith, that abundance of God is still present. And the challenge is to find it in these times as well. Here's a minor example, but I think it illustrates the point. Some of you, I'm sure, are going to be watching some of the NFL playoff games today. What else is there to do, right? A few weeks ago, I was watching my beloved Bears go down in defeat. And if you had watched that game, you would have seen that last kick. And the kick was to win the game for the Bears. And the kicker gets up, and he kicks it, and the ball goes up for the win, and it hits the goalposts and bounces back. The Bears lose. And the kicker did something very briefly that I'd never seen somebody do before after that terrible, terrible defeat. You know how athletes often go like this with their fingers raised to God, looking to God? That kicker did that after he had missed and the season was over. And I don't think it was to be sarcastic, like, thanks a lot, God. I think it was to recognize that God is there, even in that bitter, tough, heartbreaking moment. He could still acknowledge the presence of God with him in that situation. I'm sure Bears fans couldn't acknowledge it, but he could. And I think, boy, there's a sign of faith there. Jesus says, my hour has not come. And he's referring to the hour of his death, his cross, and his resurrection. And what Jesus said of himself, I think, could be said of us too. Our hour hasn't come, but we know it will be there. But today, we have this hour in which we can ask God to recognize his presence in us and around us, in season, out of season, in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health.